O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Alleluia. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. O come, let us worship him.
O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. He is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia. O come, let us worship him. As newborn babies, alleluia, desire the sincere milk of the word, alleluia. Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As newborn babies, alleluia, desire the sincere milk of the word. Alleluia. The Old Testament lesson for the second Sunday of Easter is written in the 37th chapter of the book of the prophet Ezekiel, beginning at the first verse. The Lord's hand was on me, and he brought me out in the Lord's spirit, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and behold, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and tell them, You dry bones, hear the Lord's word. The Lord God says to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you will live. I will lay sinews on you, and will bring up flesh on you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, there was an earthquake. Then the bones came together, bone to its bone. I saw, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh came up, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and tell the wind, The Lord God says, Come from the four winds, breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and tell them, The Lord God says, Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. Then I will place you in your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in the 5th chapter of the first epistle of St. John, beginning at the 4th verse. Brothers, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is God's testimony, which he has testified concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. He who doesn't believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Alleluia. After 8 days came Jesus and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were locked where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the middle, and said to them, Peace be to you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them again, Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they have been forgiven them. If you retain anyone's sins, they have been retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, wasn't with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, again his disciples were inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being locked, and stood in the middle, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Therefore Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the gospel. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ was delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From our introit, it says, "Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. In distress you called, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." Thomas was not believing. He didn't realize that with his unbelief that he was acting just like Old Testament Israel. And our psalm shows how that is, explaining what Old Testament Israel did. Israel suffered for centuries under the severe, cruel slavery of Egypt. Under this tribulation, they cried out to God for mercy, to save them, to free them. God, remembering his promise to Abraham, heard them. And in mercy, he sent plagues. In the secret place of thunder, that is, walking on dry ground through the Red Sea as the tempest held the waters back, God answered Israel. He crushed the Egyptians in those same waters and delivered them. The God of Jacob saved the children of Israel. He led them to pass over from slavery and death to freedom and salvation. And as the bodies of the old slave masters washed to shore, all that Moses and Miriam and all the children of Israel could do is sing and shout to joy to God, jumping in jubilation as they were praising God. That's the reaction to salvation. And God brought them to Mount Sinai, and in thunder above the mountain, he declared, "I am the Lord your God." And then he had Moses write all these things down in the Torah. And as they entered the promised land, he had Joshua and the people build monuments to all that they had witnessed, so that their children may hear and see and always remember from the scriptures and from the monuments what the Lord had done for them. Remind them always that he was their God. But eventually, Joshua and that generation of witnesses to God's mighty works, they all died. New generations rose up after them, only hearing all the time what the old generation passed down to them in the scriptures and stones and monuments. But those new generations, the ones who didn't witness what God had done, they refused to believe, to receive what they were given from Joshua and the witnesses. the old generation of witnesses heard all that Moses said in Deuteronomy. But this new generation, listening to their witness, shut up their ears. The old generation opened up their mouths, and in the wilderness, God filled them with manna. And in the promised land, God filled them with milk and honey. But the younger generation, who hadn't seen these things, refused to open their mouths to God, to be filled by him. The old generation longed for the pure spiritual milk of the word, but this new generation refused to receive anything from God. They stubbornly refused to believe. When Joshua and the witnesses all died, that's when the voice of God became foreign to Israel, and they looked elsewhere to be filled and satisfied. And so in this psalm, what God is doing is he's reminding unbelieving Israel, I am the Lord your God. He calls them back to the first commandment. He calls them back to faithfulness. He tells them, I am he who by my mighty mercy brought you out of the land of Egypt. I made you my nation. I made you my people. I made you who you are. Come back to me. Open your mouths. I will fill and satisfy you again like I did your fathers. In other words, what God is telling them in this psalm is, do not disbelieve, but believe. And so this is the disbelief that Thomas fell into. Thomas was acting like the Old Testament Israel. Like them when they were in slavery. He was with Israel when they were lost without a shepherd, under the slavery of sin and death. And it's not hard to imagine that Thomas, in that time before Christ showed himself, that he prayed like the rest of Israel, prayed to God for mercy and freedom from that darkness. And God, hearing the cries of his people, did what he always did. He remembered his promises, and in mercy, he sent his Son in the flesh. And by the teachings and miracles and prophecies of our Lord throughout his mystery, he had shown his mercy in his great strength. And our Lord led them. He led Israel in his ministry through the greater Passover, the Passover of the cross, where he leads his people in the way and crushes the head of the enemy in his death. He passes his people from slavery of sin and death, to the freedom of forgiveness and life. So that in baptism, being led into the Passover of the cross, we are made God's own people, his own nation, his own children. In the waters, we are made the body of Christ. In the gospel, look at the 10 apostles as our Lord offers them peace and shows them his scars. Our gospel says that the 10 were glad, which is a mild way of saying that they did exactly what Moses and Miriam and Israel back in the Exodus did. They sang and shouted to Christ for joy. They jumped in jubilation as they touched his hand inside. They were in awe of being in the reality that the serpent's head was crushed. That reality is washing to shore when they saw our Lord. And just as Moses and Joshua and all the eyewitnesses of Israel told the younger generations of God's mighty works, so also these 10 went and told Thomas, who wasn't there, and spoke to him the word of peace and salvation that the risen Lord had spoken. But just like those younger generations who were not witnesses that refused to believe, so also was Thomas. He had not witnessed the Lord, so he stubbornly refused to believe. The 10, when they saw the Lord, opened their ears to receive his peace, but Thomas shut his ears up. The 10 opened their mouths and were filled with praises of God, but Thomas shut his mouth up. And he said, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. As the 10 share Christ's word of peace to Thomas, Thomas refuses to believe, and then the voice of God that he heard for so many years became foreign to him. Thomas fell into the disbelief of Old Testament Israel. But just as God called disbelieving Israel back to the faith in our psalm, So also our Lord came and called disbelieving Thomas back to the faith as well. So he appears to the 10 and Thomas 8 days later, and then he looks at Thomas and immediately says, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and take your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And in this scene, it's as if Jesus was taking Thomas's hand and placing it into his own scarred hands and said, "I am the Lord your God." Then he forced Thomas's hand into his side and said, "Who brought you up out of sin and death to forgiveness and life?" It's as if our Lord looks him square in the eyes and says, "Do not disbelieve, but believe." As if he's telling Thomas, "Open your mouth and I will fill it. I will satisfy you. Long for the pure spiritual word of my peace, and I will make you mature in my salvation." That's what he's telling Thomas. And then you see immediately what happens to Thomas. His ears are opened. His mouth opens. His mouth is filled with that joyful confession, "My Lord and my God." Our Lord called Thomas back to the faith. Thomas was converted from being like unbelieving Israel to being like Moses and Miriam, singing and shouting for joy. His mouth no longer being able to shut up because of his confession of God. Instead of stubborn refusal, Thomas now longs for that pure spiritual milk. And so again, our psalm, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk of the word, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it, and with honey from the rock I will satisfy you." And you'll see in our gospel that our Lord breathed on the apostles. Then he gave them the authority of the office of the keys. That is, he gave them his authority to forgive and to withhold forgiveness. He gives the apostles their apostolic authority as his eyewitness to go out into the world and to teach and write down all that our Lord had accomplished for salvation. Through them, in the office of the keys, our Lord establishes for the church what we call the office of the ministry. The public ministry where the church bestows upon, which the church bestows upon certain men, Christ's forgiveness, or Christ's authority to forgive and to withhold forgiveness. And it's not that we pastors have the authority of the apostles, that's not what we're saying. They alone carried out the authority as Christ's eyewitnesses. They were the ones he chose to be eyewitnesses and to go out as eyewitnesses. But we pastors may, under the apostles' doctrine, forgive or withhold forgiveness in baptism and preaching and confession and absolution and the Lord's Supper. He gives this to the church. And then he looks at Thomas and says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And so we must ask, why is the Lord doing all of this right there in the upper room? And the answer is so that you who are not eyewitnesses to all of these things might not fall into the trap of disbelieving Israel or disbelieving Thomas. Or if after all the Easter celebrations you do fall into that trap of disbelief, that the Lord might use his apostolic pastors to call you back by saying in the word and sacraments, "I am the Lord your God." So that the Lord by his pastors may take you by the hand to the font where you can stick your hand into the waters and cross yourselves, and you can be reminded there from the word of our Lord that "I am he who brought you from sin and death to forgiveness and life in these waters." And so that the Lord by his pastors may put his body and blood in your mouth and say, "Do not disbelieve, but believe. Open your mouth. See how I fill you. See how I satisfy you with my peace, which you eat and you drink." Our Lord gives the office of the ministry so that your ears may always be open, so your mouth may always be filled with creeds and praise, so that the stubborn refusal of the sinful flesh may always be replaced with the longing of the heart for the pure spiritual milk of the gospel, which Christ gives through the office of the ministry, which he gives to you always through the church, so you always may believe, so you may not fall into the trap of disbelieving. So may we pray that Christ always call us back every week. May we live the rest of our lives longing for that pure spiritual milk. And may we always keep our mouths wide open so our Lord may fill it unto salvation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, that we who have celebrated the solemnities of the Lord's resurrection may, by the help of your grace, bring forth the fruits thereof in our life and conversation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. And we beseech you so to implant your word in us that, in good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith by patient continuance and well-doing. Most heartily, we beseech you so to rule and govern your Church Catholic, with all her pastors and ministers, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, whereby faith toward you may be strengthened, love and charity increased in us toward all mankind, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to Joseph, our president, the Congress of these United States, Kim, our governor, the legislature of this state, and to all our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after your good pleasure, to the maintenance of righteousness, and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May it please you also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity and hostilities, and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are in suffering for your name's sake, comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of your fatherly will. Especially do we pray for those that we name in our hearts at this time. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and manifold punishment, yet we entreat you, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions, but out of your unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all men, and especially of them that believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring before you. For by his blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour shall come, support us by your power and receive us into your everlasting kingdom. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We give thanks unto thee, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that thou hast protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech thee to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds we may serve and please thee. Into thy hands we commend our bodies and our souls, and all that is ours. Let thy holy angel have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.